So we're going to be working through a simple passage of Scripture tonight. And this simple passage of Scripture is found in the book of Matthew. And I think most of you have a Bible with you, or some of you might have a Bible with you. And if you do, the book of Matthew is the first one in which testament, guys? Oh, the New Testament. Good. It's the first book in the New Testament. So it's right after Genesis and then a couple more books. So find it quickly and go to Matthew chapter 7. So find Matthew and Matthew chapter 7. And if you didn't bring your Bible, that will be okay, because I'll read it for you and then we'll talk about it. But we're going to talk about something tonight. We're going to talk about building. And there is some really neat things we can do when we're building. And I brought a few tools, and most of these are probably, you know, my home renditions of it. I would have very much nicer stuff if I was like some of the people here who actually do this for a living. But I do enough of it that I have some of the cool tools. So I have this cool tool belt, which holds my... You're pretty smart. It's a tool belt that holds tools. And then, so on this I have... What is that? Oh, good. He knows what it is. It's a hammer. And then I have, oh, I have my cell phone. That's an important tool. Oh, I have a flashlight. Does it work? Okay, just making sure. Let's see here. Oh, I got...
How long am I?
How long is it? I had a feeling somebody might ask. I should have probably looked. Come here, Jackson. You're not Jackson. Yes, you are. Come over here. Come here. What's that say right there? How many feet is that? 25. Yeah, 25 feet. It's 25 feet. That's a lot. Yes. So I can measure up to 25 feet. If I have to measure beyond that, I'm in trouble. I need a bigger tape measure. Or a laser. There's other ways to measure. But that is an important tool. Because if we are going to cut something, we need to cut it the right length. Did you know you can measure once and cut twice and the board will always be too short? Every time, if you ever tried to build anything, that's what happens. Or you can measure twice and cut once and then the board's the right length. We do things like that when we're studying and we're learning and we make decisions in life. It's much better to think about it twice before we act than to act and then wish we hadn't. I'm sure if we went around the room and asked the adults, we could all tell you a story of something where we acted first and thought later, and that usually ends very badly. So, guys, as we're thinking about... Oh, I got more. I have a pencil. Did you know that is one of the most important things you can have on you when you're working? Because if you don't have a pencil, how do you take notes? How do you mark the wood that you're going to cut? Oh, what else do I have? You know what I don't have? I don't have my speed square, which I usually have. And then I have this cool thing. A pair of pliers. You never know when that's going to come in handy. And I have like 13 different types of pliers in my toolbox for a reason, because everyone has a different job. You know, kind of like that. Did you know every single one of you? Every single one of you is going to have a different job in your life. You're going to have a different purpose. Jesus will have, God will have a different reason for each of you. Every one of you will have your own reason that God has you alive. Did you know that? That means each one of you is very special. You're all very special. So when we talk about, oh, I forgot. This might be one of the most important tools. Does anybody know what that is? What is it, Shiloh? It's a level. A level tells when it's level, huh? Either this way or this way. And if you're putting walls up and you put them up crooked, what tends to happen, Mr. Fuller, if you put all your walls up crooked on a house? It's going to fall down. It's not going to stand up. That is not a good thing. So you want the walls to be straight. So you use a level to make sure everything is straight up and down and straight flat. Because if your countertops aren't flat, your tomatoes roll off on the floor, and that's a problem. Or maybe it's a good thing if you don't like tomatoes. But, you know, as we think about this, okay, so I got to lose this. Why would I wear a hard hat on a construction site? So I don't hit my head, because if I'm working on the bottom floor and Mr. Fuller's working up above, there's a fairly good chance something could come down. And I'm okay if I'm wearing a helmet, my hard hat. If I'm not, it's going to hurt. So you wear a hard hat. You wear glasses so when you're cutting, you don't get junk in your eyes because God gave you two eyes and you need them for your whole life. You wear gloves because you have fingers and you kind of need them. That goes back to our when we were talking about. That's not what we're all talking about today, but it's important that we understand. I'm going to leave this stuff scattered up here. I will probably trip on it, and if I do, one of you guys catch me when I land down there, okay? You'll probably be all right. Maybe wear my hard hat in case I... Good call. Well, tonight we're going to talk about building a house. We talked a little bit about building and some of the tools because, like, when you come to Awana and you learn your verses in Sparks and Awana, you are... Sparks and TNT in the Awana program, you are learning the tools that you need to build your house of your life. And we want to make sure we build it right. Because God wants us to do things right if we're going to do it for Him. So when we talk about building a house, there's a couple ways we can build it. We can get, went the wrong direction. We can get our hammers out and we can nail things together and we can build all this stuff. And you know what? I can use a level. I can build the most beautiful home you have ever seen on a beach. Well, it might be a treehouse, but I can build a beautiful small treehouse on the beach looking out over the ocean. And can you imagine that in your minds? You're sitting on the sand right above your front porch is right above you. You can scoot back and sit in the shade, sip your iced tea, and you can look at the ocean. And you have this beautiful, beautiful house. And you put a lot of time and effort into building that house. And it's a wonderful house. And you know, people spend a lot of money buying houses that are right on the ocean. But we're going to find out in a couple minutes, there is a small problem with that house. But that's a really nice house. And it looks great. And people love their beach houses. And then you got the other guy. And he comes over here, and he comes up on the hill. Hold on. I got one more tool. I didn't bring my backhoe, but I brought a shovel. And when he starts building, he starts coming up here, and he starts chipping away and digging and digging and digging. And pretty soon, he's got a nice flat spot up here right on top of the rocks. And then he starts building his house. And he builds a house up on the rock. And you know, it's a beautiful house. And as a matter of fact, when I look at that house that's on the beach, and I look at that house that's sitting up on the hill, they sure look an awful lot the same. Somebody spent a lot of time perfectly building the house with the windows looking out with the beautiful view of the ocean and of the mountains. Somebody spent a lot of time putting a really good roof on it so when it rains, the water goes off the house instead of into the house. They put really nice windows on so they can turn the air conditioning on so when you're on the beach and you get too hot, you can go inside and look out those really nice windows with the air conditioning on. And it holds the cold in. And then this house has this beautiful view with a beautiful fireplace. So it keeps you nice and warm when it's 20 degrees in September in the mountains. And we like the house. But you know what? Those two houses look almost exactly the same. And each one who owns those houses put a lot of time and they put a lot of money and they put a lot of effort into building their houses. And you know what? Both of those people are pretty happy with their house. What is that? That's so you can hear me. That's a special tool for church. So when we build a house, we want to make sure we build it right and we want to do a good job. Did you know you can be like either one of those people when you build your Christian life? You start growing. You start learning verses. You start learning principles. You start learning about Jesus. You start learning what the Bible says. You start learning what He's teaching you. You learn what to do. You learn how to act and you do it. And you have a beautiful Christian life. But did you know what? Both of those two houses. Can you see them in your mind? Can you see the house up on the mountaintop? And can you see the house on the beach? They look exactly the same, don't they? But are they the same? Are those two houses the same? They're not. And we're going to have to talk about why they're not, because that is what the Bible talks to us about in Matthew chapter 7. So in Matthew chapter 7 is actually right after Matthew chapter 6, which is right after Matthew chapter 5, which is important. Because you have to go all the way back to Matthew chapter 5 to figure out why Jesus is saying what he's about to say in Matthew chapter 7. So, Jesus, we're going to find out, is teaching on the side of a hill or a mountain. He's up on the hill, and there's a great multitude of people that he is teaching to. They followed him there, and they started following. There's a large group of people following Jesus. And he is there teaching them. And this is what is called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And it goes back all the way back to chapter 5. And some of you have learned in your time learning the Bible, the Beatitudes, the verses that say, blessed are the, and there's a whole bunch of them, and you learn them all. And we learn lots of lessons. So Jesus is up on the hill with a large group of people teaching them for all of chapter 5 and all of chapter 6 and all of chapter 7. That's a pretty long message. And you know what happened when he was done preaching? The people said, wow. Wow. That guy preaches not like any of the other teachers. He preaches like he has authority. He knows what he's talking about. You know what Jesus told them? He spent that entire time telling them how they're supposed to live their Christian life. He told them, you're supposed to be poor in spirit. He told them, and then you'll be blessed in the kingdom. He said, you're supposed to mourn, because if you mourn on earth, you'll be comforted in heaven. And he went through this whole big long list. And then he talks about being the salt of the earth. Did you guys hear somebody preach about that recently? I did. I heard somebody preach about being the salt of the earth. And if it's not any good, what do you do with that old salt? Throw it out. Get rid of it and walk on it, because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't even melt ice. It's that bad. And then we see about being a light on a hill. And Jesus teaches them about being a light upon a hill. And don't hide your light. Share your light with others. And then he tells them a whole bunch of other lessons about how you should act when people treat you right and how you should act when people treat you wrong. And how you should live in all kinds of different things. And there's a lot of lessons that are amazingly very, very, very simple. Jesus taught things in a way that was very, very easy to understand. And he taught for this long time, and he got done, and he showed them how to pray in this. He taught them how you're supposed to pray. And then we come into chapter 7, and he talks more to them about not judging other people. And then he talks to them about that big beam in your eye and trying to tell somebody to take the sawdust that they got on the construction site out when you got a 2x4 sticking out the side of your eye. And he tells them about that. And then he talks about knowing people by their fruit. And if it's a good fruit tree, you have what? Good fruit. If it's a bad fruit tree, what do you got? Nothing. Or bad fruit. Sometimes I think about walking through hiking and you find this nice little berry and you think, wow, I am so hungry. That berry's going to taste so good. And you throw it in your mouth thinking it's a blueberry. And all of a sudden that taste that gets in your mouth from a berry that you weren't supposed to eat, that was very nice of God to warn you, don't eat this berry, it's bad for you, so it tastes bad. But you tried it anyhow and it tastes horrible. Well, that's a bad fruit. God says we can tell a lot about people by their fruit. Well, you know what else you can tell people by? What happens when the storms of life come? When things aren't always good. And you built these two houses, and we got these two houses. And so now we come down to Matthew chapter 7, and we come to verse 24. And Jesus tells all of the people there, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. and the rain descended, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine that does not, that doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat up on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus uses this example with the people, and they are sitting on a hill. They're not far from the ocean, so they can probably see the sandy beach of the sea. They can probably see the rocks on the hillside, and they get this mental picture in their mind. So let's talk a little bit about in your life, how do you build a house like the one that's over here built on the rock versus the house that's built on the sand? Because you remember, we talked about the two houses look exactly the same. But what happens when the storm comes and hits that house that's on the sand? It doesn't just tip over. The Bible says its destruction was great, and it is flat. There's a song about that. We're not going to sing it right now. The wise man builds his house upon a rock, right? So as we think about that, then we look at this house up on the hill, and it is on a rock, and it is up on the hill. It's got a good roof on it. It's got good walls, good windows, and it is storming. There is lightning. You've been in the mountains in a storm, and it is blowing and lightning, and it is just coming down. But you know what happens to that house? It stays there, and it stands strong through the storm, and it goes past, and the sun comes out, and guess what? The people come out, and they look around and go, wow, that was quite a storm. Guess we better pick up all the branches and clean up the yard and go back in the house again. The people on the beach, they're standing down here going, now what do I do? As a matter of fact, they might not even be alive because they chose to stay in their house on the ocean when the hurricane came in, and guess what? Their house is flat. The Bible says the wise man builds his house on the rock and the fool builds it on the sand. Now remember, those two houses looked what?
Same.
The same. What was the difference between the two houses? What was the difference?
Like, the house that's in the mountain and the rock, it doesn't tip over, it was just flat. And the other house that's in the grass doesn't tip over. Because, like, both of them build the same houses,
mm-hmm.
That's why they can't fall off.
Yeah, so they build the house up on the rock, and it's solid. So when all that rain comes down, it stays there. But when you get down in the sand, the water washes that away, and all of a sudden there's nothing solid on the bottom anymore, and so everything that's up goes down. Now, how does that relate to you guys? Well, there is a passage later on in Matthew where Jesus says, you're Peter, which is a play on words, which is you're the little rock, I'm the big rock, and on this rock you're going to build the church. And Jesus says that he is the rock. There's other passages that say Jesus is the rock of my salvation. So when we look at building our foundation of our Christian life and our house on a rock, what is the most important thing we can start with? Starting with the rock, Jesus. So while you're learning all of your Awana verses, you can all learn them just the same. You can all memorize them, and you can work your way up, and you can get this award. It's pretty cool. I mean, it really is. But did you know if you worked your entire life learning and you only earned this reward, what does that say? Participation. It means you never finished a single book, but you started learning. And you listened, and you understood that Jesus died for your sins, and your sins, and your sins, and all of your sins. And you believed in your heart that Jesus died for you, and you believed that you were a sinner. And you prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior and forgive you from your sins and to cleanse you from all your wrong and your unrighteousness. You know what the difference between you and possibly the person who learned all of those verses the whole time is? If they never did that, if they never believed on Jesus, they built their house on the sand.
That's right.
And the one who believes on Jesus started their house on a rock. So you know what? You can have a house on a rock that's a little house, that when the storm comes, the big mansion that looks like it should survive disappears. But the little house that's built on Jesus and the life that is built on Jesus does not fall down. So the most important thing you can do is not just learn the verses. Not just learn the verses, because the verses are really important. They are really, really important for you to learn them. But if you only learn the verses and don't stop and think that, you know what, Jesus died for me and you and you and you. If you don't stop and realize that it's not that Jesus died for the whole world, but he died for me and the whole world, that is the missing piece. The missing piece is Jesus as the bottom building up. It is the most important thing you will do. So as we learn these verses, what you will notice through Sparky's and through TNT, over and over and over and over again, what verses do we learn? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. Well, yes, us, but me. And if you say Christ died for the whole world, but not me, you are building a house on the sand. And it is so important that you understand that being in church doesn't build your house on a rock. Having Christian parents who bring you to church doesn't put your house on the rock. Having Pastor Jono or Mr. Josh go get the kids that come on the van every week and bring them, and they come to church every single week, does that build your house on a rock? Does obeying your parents build your house on a rock? All of those things are good things. But that's not the rock. The rock is Jesus. He's the only one who can build your foundation of your life so strong that when the bad times come, along with the good times, you make it through. And I can tell you right now, and everybody in this room will tell you guys, being alive and a Christian is a good thing, but it's not always easy. So if you think that your life is going to be like sitting on a beach, in a house, on the sand, looking at the ocean in a sunny day all the time, you better remember that there's going to be a hurricane. And it's going to come right at your house. And when it hits your house, you have two choices. You can have a house right here on the ocean, in the hurricane, on the sand. And you can have a house right over here that's on the ocean, on a rock, built very well, anchored to the rock, and that hurricane hits and your house makes it. Now, is something going to happen to that house? Yeah, you might lose a window, you might lose a roof, you might lose a shingle, you might take a beating, but guess what? The house stands. The house on the sand is flat. So as we go through Awana this year, guys, the verses are extremely important. And I am so proud of each of you for earning your awards and getting the attendance ribbons and the prizes you get. And I hope every single one of you gets your Timothy Award and finishes all the books and gets your Sparky Award and finishes all the books. But even more than that, I have one hope and prayer for each one of you. that you will recognize that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Not just everybody else's, but your sin. And when you understand that, you will pray and you will accept Him as your Savior. Not just the Savior of the world, but your Savior, your Jesus, your rock, your salvation. And I'm going to ask Pastor to come up, and I got a microphone for him, I believe. And I'll give Pastor a mic, and I'm going to let Pastor close.
So let me ask you a question. What's the rock? Just say it. Jesus. So let me ask you another question. If a person doesn't have Jesus in his life, what's going to happen to him? Going to fail? What else? No, he's not going to turn into a pancake. What? He's going to go to hell. Hell's a real place. And so if you're going to build your life on a rock, that's where you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life. Have you done that? That's the most important thing you can do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message that we've heard. Lord God, I thank you for Jesus. I pray, Lord, if there's any young people here that do not know Jesus, that tonight would be that night where they invite Jesus Christ into their lives and their hearts. Your heads are bowed, every eye closed. If you've never invited Jesus in your heart, you can do that tonight. You do that by prayer. He hears you. And you can whisper this to God. Your head bowed, eyes closed. You whisper to God, if you don't know Jesus, dear God, I know I am a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I believe He rose from the dead. So right now, in the best way I know how, I ask Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. And be my Savior, my rock. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed. How many of you just now, for the first time in your life, just prayed to receive Jesus, ask Jesus in your heart? May I see your hand? The first time in your life you did it. Amen. Well, you tell your leaders. Father, we give you the glory. Thank you for the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.